In 2020, for the first time on record, Michigan had more deaths than births. I know you might be thinking, well, yeah, because COVID, duh.
But even if we took the COVID numbers out, we would still have more deaths than births.
And it's a trend that's been heading this direction for a while. So there are fewer Michiganders. But what a smaller population means for the future of the state, its economy, and its environment, that's less clear. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Kurt Metzger has spent years looking at how the picture is changing. He's director emeritus at Data Driven Detroit, a group that provides information in the public interest to drive decision making. And he said he's been waiting to see what the pandemic would mean to population numbers.
You know, being retired, I sit around and look at numbers a lot. So I've been tracking births and deaths, certainly looking at Michigan's population, and births and deaths are so important in terms of driving growth or population loss, especially with Michigan, because it tends to be an out-migrant state. We tend to send more people away to other states than we receive. So the growth from more births than deaths has always been very important to Michigan. But that has been changing over the last few years. We've seen this steady decrease in births and a fairly rapid increase in deaths. So I've been waiting to see the 2020 numbers. The death data had been out, and I've been talking to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, looking for provisional birth information. And finally, they were able to share 2020 numbers for the state and for all counties. It's yet to be on their website, but it made it available to me to start looking at the numbers.
How wide is the margin between births and deaths for 2020?
Well, we're now just under 13,000 more deaths than births. And of course, 2020 marks the beginning of COVID. And so obviously a great deal of that jump, Michigan's increase of almost 19,000 deaths over the last year can be attributed to COVID, but it was inevitable it was going to shift, and COVID just basically exacerbated that.
So I was wondering if this was a very big demographic jump for Michigan, if we were very far away from reaching this numeric point before the pandemic hit.
No, we basically have been getting closer and closer. And just to discuss why I even look at this is, as I said, Michigan, you know, population change is attributable to natural increase, which is births over deaths, combined with migration, both immigration and domestic migration, meaning movement between states. Michigan has always, you know, been an out-migrant state, and we've managed to gain population because we had more births and deaths, and we had relatively significant numbers of immigrants. And we've seen, of course, lately that immigration, certainly with the Trump administration, the immigration numbers have gone down drastically. And migration out of the state, while it has been lower in recent years, it still is averaging about 7,000 to 8,000 a year. So births, natural increase has become more and more important for Michigan. And now we don't have that component either. So the question becomes, how does Michigan grow its population? Because we're losing on all accounts right now.
Kurt, I saw a write-up out of the University of New Hampshire. Their School of Public Policy found that it wasn't just Michigan, but actually a record number of states were in the same boat, where deaths exceeded births in 2020. And there's a real range represented here, certainly Michigan, but also Ohio and Indiana, and Arizona and New Mexico both, Florida, and places like Oregon and Montana that did have somewhat of a boom or boomlet, at least, of in-migrants in the years prior. It feels like when we look at the number on the face of it, that just the number of deaths versus births is only a small measure of what's going on with the population. That seems to be what you're suggesting about this bigger picture.
I mean, 2020 obviously was a very strange year because of COVID that has certainly increased the death numbers significantly across the country. But you're talking about a number of states, say Florida, obviously is an older state, so you tend to have more deaths than births. But you have this huge migration into Florida. Same thing if you start talking about some of the Western states that you mentioned. But when you look at Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, this is kind of their future because they are an older state. And the whiter the state is, the older the state is. And these changes are occurring. And the question is, how do you start to reverse those changes? You're not going to grow the population unless you can attract a lot of people for whatever reason, or you can build up immigration, which we know is going to be a long haul. So what do you do? And again, in Michigan, it was, yes, we've been getting closer and closer. And if you look at 2020, what we saw, 76 out of the 83 counties had more deaths than births. And we've got counties where deaths are doubling births. I mean, we have a number of counties, some 50 counties that generally have more deaths than births, particularly the Upper Peninsula and northern lower, at least the eastern part of that. There are a lot of areas in this state that can't afford to continue to lose population, or we have to decide, what do we do with those areas? How, you know, it's more or less kind of looking back at Detroit. As Detroit was losing population, and they were talking about, how do we look at the neighborhoods and how do we prioritize neighborhood develop economic development? Do we start to just look at those areas that are growth areas in the southern part of the state and more or less leave the rest to its own devices? Or do we start thinking regionally across the state, regional planning agencies and others start thinking about, how do we approach these changes that are inevitable?
It's time for a short break. In a moment, we'll hear from an economist about what these demographic changes mean for the Michigan economy. And you might be surprised to hear how he views it. I sure was. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
So let's review. Michigan is looking at fewer births than deaths as of the year 2020. Relatively low numbers of people moving here and relatively high numbers of people moving to other places. So is that bad news for the economy?
Yes, partly. I want to give you a couple of different ways of thinking about it. Certainly, all the deaths due to COVID, there's no good in that.
That's Michigan State University economist Charlie Ballard.
And if we're having more deaths than births, and if we're not having much in-migration, that means that overall our population is not growing. That brings with it a set of challenges. But I want to give you another way of thinking about it, which is, any population growth comes with some pluses and some minuses, some good things and some not so good things. In particular, our population in Michigan grew like crazy in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and then it hasn't changed a whole lot since then. Well, during the 50s and 60s, during the baby boom, and with lots of in-migration from other places, we had to scramble like crazy to build enough roads and schools and sewer systems and bridges and all of that to take care of all of those new people. So there are benefits and there are business opportunities from the extra people, but there are also challenges. Now, what would have happened if the population growth rate from the middle of the previous century in Michigan had continued until now? Well, instead of 10 million people, we would have about 20 million. Mm. They'd all have to have a roof over their heads. Most of them would have a car. What you would have would be having a lot less open space, a lot more traffic congestion. And I know what I'm talking about because I have relatives in Austin, Texas, where the roads are clogged all the time. Yes, it's growing fast, and that brings some advantages, but it also brings costs. And I want your listeners to have kind of a balanced view. Yes, there are positives for population growth, but also challenges.
Yeah. Do you see news of a population loss like this in a single year as more of a short-term or a long-term consideration? I kind of got the sense from talking to Kurt that the factors that got us here were really not limited to COVID, and that we've been building up to this for some time.
Right. Our population in Michigan has not been growing very much for the last half century. And so we haven't had more deaths than births, but we've had years where we actually did lose population because more out migration than in migration, and that was enough to outweigh the births. So in Michigan, we've been dealing with essentially a constant population for a long time. So taken from a longer perspective, the news this morning is not a huge story. It's not dramatically different from what we've seen before.
Charlie, what role did population play in Michigan's golden economic period? I'm thinking about the 40s and the 50s, maybe even into the 60s.
Right. And maybe even into the early 70s. What happened was that we established ourselves early in the 20th century, and especially with the Second World War, with all of the industrial production of tanks, bombers, and all that. We were the arsenal of democracy. And that tremendous economic power brought people to Michigan, on average about 100,000 a year for 30 years. Big population growth. A lot of them were Americans who came from the South, from Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama. My in-laws came to Michigan from Tennessee. And we also had people from other countries, including, for instance, Poland. We had a lot of in-migration, and what that provided was the workforce that enabled the manufacturing boom, which did create tremendous prosperity. And that was a very good time for Michigan. So I'm not saying that there's nothing good about population growth. Population growth can be consistent with good things. But of course, as I said before, it also brings, you got to feed a lot more mouths, you got to build a lot more highways, you got to have a lot more gas stations.
During the boom years, what do you think people imagined Michigan's population would look like moving into the time that we now call the modern era?
Well, the Census Bureau makes projections. And back in 1970, they looked at what had happened historically over the decades before that. And they said, well, we kind of expect that that will continue at about the same rate. So they predicted that by 2020, we would have 15 million instead of 10 million. I think that most people associate population growth with good news. And certainly, I don't think that major population loss would be welcomed by just about anybody. But as I've tried to say, there's two sides to every coin, and every demographic trend brings with it pluses and minuses. Just to expand to the global level, in my lifetime, the world's population has grown from somewhat more than 2 billion to almost 8 billion. We are straining this planet's carrying capacity. So sooner or later, we on this planet are going to have to control our numbers more than we have. In fact, the global rate of population growth is slowing down, but still the forecasts are that we'll get a few more billion people in the foreseeable future. And that will cause a lot of stress on the environment. And we should just be aware of that and not just think willy-nilly that, oh, population growth is always a good thing.
Can you tell me how economists might view the drain of human capital as an equation for Michigan? I wonder if people leave or we get lower populations, lower birth rates because folks can't get jobs, or our business is not able to grow us into a bigger place because we don't have enough skilled people ready to work.
One thing that I certainly am in agreement, I think all people who study the Michigan economy agree that one area in which we have not done well is to attract and maintain our population of talented young people. There are pockets of our state. You see a vibrant youthful population in places like Ann Arbor and in the Grand Rapids area and others. But overall, we have had net out migration of the kind of people that I think it would be very valuable to keep. It's not so much that we lose way more than other states lose, because young people like to move. It's that when a young person somewhere else moves in to some different state, they're less likely to come to Michigan. And I think we have not done as good a job, not nearly as good a job, at reminding ourselves and reminding the rest of the world that this is a great place to live. We've got all of the freshwater assets, all of the beautiful scenery. And so if I were the czar, I would do more through the Pure Michigan campaign and other things to try to get the most talented young people to come here. But I would also do that with, in the back of my mind, as I've said before, I don't think that having 20 million or 30 million or 50 million people is the optimal for Michigan, because I want to maintain some of our environmental assets as well.
That's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows to listen to at michiganradio.org. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, and Claire Murashima. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.